What I tell people is this is why it's even more important that you think about what's your goal for living well as you age, because you're going to need to be articulate with the people that are available so that you get the right amount of care. There can come a time where you can't do it for yourself, and that's the patient advocate. But you should be having meaningful conversations with those people as well so that they can speak on your behalf.
Hi, and welcome to This Day and Age, where we continue to bring together experts in all things aging to give you vital information that helps you and your loved ones make confident decisions while navigating life's journey. I'm your host, Phil Tower. It's a pleasure to be with you in every one of these episodes of This Day and Age. Now, in our last episode, we took a pretty deep dive into some pretty staggering statistics regarding the growing aging population in America. Hey, you on the other end of this podcast, that's you and me. The impact this aging is having on all of us in the country as a whole, and the impact it will have on our society and societies around the world. Given all this information, you may have been left asking yourself after our last episode, so how does one begin to prepare for all of this? What's my next move? That's why we have another terrific expert with us, and I'm really excited that we have Dr. Carol Robinson on this episode. Dr. Carol Robinson is a nurse nationally certified in hospice and palliative care, and she's an expert on this whole realm of life called advanced care planning. There's no D on the end, as I just put on there. You want to do that, I guess, because it's just a thing, but she's here to give us some really valuable tips and tools for being your own advocate as you age. That's right. You have to be an advocate. So if you've never been comfortable with that, by the time you're done with this podcast episode, Carol and I promise you, you will be Wonder Woman or Superman in terms of advocacy and self-advocacy. I didn't oversell it, did I, Carol Robinson?
I think you're off to a great start, Phil.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here. I want to talk about you and your background. My research here tells me you're a nurse, and you're not only a nurse, but you're a nurse with a doctorate, and you're also certified in hospice and palliative care. So I guess I want to start with your background a little bit. At what point in your career did this patient advocacy become a passion for you, or something? Was there a tipping point or something that happened with the patient who said, I want to do this?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. When we talk about patient advocacy, I think most of us that are in healthcare have had some type of experience where it's like, this is not going well. In my case, I actually started out as a respiratory therapist for 5 years in the intensive care unit, putting a lot of people on ventilators, things like that, so life-sustaining treatment, and then moved into the nursing field where I started out in the critical care unit for a number of years again, and then moved to life-limiting pulmonary disease in both children and adults. And that was really the start of my palliative care career, long before that was a common term back in the 1990s. But I think one of the many people that I cared for was a 94-year-old gentleman. He was in the ICU, and he was on full life support. And back then, there weren't as many conversations about what would be important to somebody to live life well. And he did what we call CODE, so his heart and his lungs stopped, and we were doing CPR on him. And if you've never done it, it's you or been trained, you really have to push hard. You know, you push down a couple inches on a person's sternum. And, you know, so the first few pumps, his ribs just snapped away from his sternum, because that happens as you get very old. Excuse me, I shouldn't say very old, because I know a lot of young 94-year-olds. But in this case, yeah, it was just the cartilage was very fragile. And I couldn't help thinking, is this really how he wanted to go at the end? And obviously, he did not make it through the CPR efforts. And it just broke my heart. And I just thought, I need to do something different so that I can start helping people at a much earlier stage, think about what matters to them to live life well.
So your best teachers?
My patients.
Were your patients?
Yep, still are.
And some actually told you, I don't want this to happen to me. Some life just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see, okay, I need to share this with other people so they don't sit here. Whether there's, let's be real, whether they're 64 or they're 94.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough to say?
Oh, sure. Sure. And in patient advocacy, you know, when we use the word advocate, it means to support someone or something. That's what advocacy is.
Right.
And in self-advocacy, I say, you know, the only person that's really totally in charge of your healthcare while you can make decisions for yourself is you.
Right.
You know, so it's really important to start thinking and talking about what matters to you to live life well.
You know, in Washington, Carol, they have lobbyists, so we have to be our own lobbyists. Except
right.
We don't get paid for being our advocate.
We do not. We do not.
But, and I'm going to ask this later on in our conversation, are we going to see 10 years from now these patient advocate experts? Because I think a lot of, it's a doula, right, that you hire when you're going to give birth, a midwife, you will. Do you think we're going to have death and end-of-life doulas?
We already do.
We do.
We've had death doulas for a number of years. It's a really growing specialty. They even have a national association now.
That's not something you want to hire on Facebook Marketplace, by the way. Just you want to have an expert for that. So advocacy is a lot of things. But again, just define that for our listeners at its very base.
It's how you support someone or something. And in healthcare, it's how do you support yourself to get the care that lines up with your values and beliefs system? You know, what matters most to you? Because it is totally different for every single person. And I will say, you know, years ago, when medicine was a little bit more patriarchal, it was like doctor knows best. And so this was a relatively new concept. When you were talking about some of the changes in our ages, I've worked with a population that would never question a doctor.
Well, I was just going to say that because what was the unspoken line that Dr. Carol Robinson just spoke is doctor knows best. That means don't question the doctor. That was the conventional wisdom for
it
years.
It was, but it's not anymore. The way they're trained now, they're trained in what's called patient-centered care, shared decision-making, where the person should be in the center of the circle of the whole interdisciplinary care team and should be sharing about what's important to them to live life well.
Yeah.
There can come a time where you can't do it for yourself, and that's the patient advocate. But you should be having meaningful conversations with those people as well so that they can speak on your behalf. It's not like they say, this is what I want for my mother. It's, if my mother could speak right now, she would say she wants XYZ.
That's well said. And to review some of those statistics, and we covered some of those in our previous episode of This Day and Age, I really want to encourage you to listen to that if you haven't listened to it. But the oldest baby boomer here in 2023 will turn 77. Now, that's the oldest baby boomer, meaning there's another 17 years worth of boomers. Yeah, that phrase, hello, boomer, 17 years worth of people be born between 1946 and 1964. That's the definition of the baby boom generation that will be hitting retirement age over the course of the next couple of decades. And only in 7 more years, all boomers will be older than 65. It's hard for me as your host to read that and make up 21%, 1 in 5 of the population in this country alone. And the influx of seniors is going to have a significant, there's the most understated word in this conversation, a significant impact on the current infrastructure. And that's everything. That's these senior living facilities, that's hospitals, that's experts, that's doctors, it's nurses, and it's even caregivers, which we're going to talk about in a future episode. But we already knew, and this is the last 10 years, you're a nurse, Carol Robinson. I mean, nursing shortage has been a thing for years, hasn't it?
It has. It definitely has.
So talk about the impact in the infrastructure as we all get older and we feel younger and invincible right now. But we're all getting older. Do we really understand the impact of what this is going to have on all of these systems that are integral to caring for older people?
I don't know if everybody understands that yet, and that's the value of this type of podcast. What I tell people is this is why it's even more important that you think about what's your goal for living well as you age, because you're going to need to be articulate with the people that are available so that you get the right amount of care. You know, you don't want to get over treatment if that wasn't your desire. You don't want to get under treatment. But the team, they will be more pressed for time. And trust me, physicians are thrilled when patients come in and they say, you know, this is what good aging looks like to me. And I'm not interested in this type of thing, because it helps them guide the care.
So when we want to start this conversation, or at least for ourselves, we want to start planning for our future care. Given all that information, I think one would assume you need to start earlier as opposed to later.
Totally.
Now, there are people listening to this podcast who are 30-somethings with parents who may be in their 60s, maybe even in their late 50s. Is there too early a time? I know life can happen to anybody at any point, including having to face some kind of a life-taking or life-making decision. But typically, one would think you want to start looking at this at least in your 40s, certainly in your 50s, and definitely in your 60s. So do you have a number, or is it whenever you want?
So the myth buster here is that advanced care planning is only for older people. I always say, you know, it actually starts at 16 when your kid goes to get a driver's license, you know, because some people say, you know, we shouldn't talk about this with young people around. I said, well, if your child has a driver's license, they've been asked if they want to be a donor, an organ donor, and you're not an organ donor if you're alive. So 16-year-olds are faced with it in the state of Michigan. I always encourage at the age of 18 that people actually get a patient advocate in place, at least, because the way our law works in the state of Michigan is once a kid is 18, they're a free agent. Their parents can no longer make decisions for them, which the kids are shocked, the parents are shocked. So let's just make it legal now, because the number one cause of death for young people up to age 44 is motor vehicle accident.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad you said that, because there could be a number of parents listening to this podcast with kids away at college.
Exactly.
Or studying overseas, and they never thought about that. And then they're faced with that in a critical or crisis situations.
Yeah.
So we've already covered the fact that parents with kids, especially driving age and older, should begin thinking about advanced care planning. Mm-hmm. But for adults planning for their future care, I mean, it's multifaceted.
Yeah.
Including end-of-life care, but a lot of it needs to begin with who's going to take care of me when I'm no longer able to take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
That simple fact. And caregiving is a big thing, but a lot of this is beginning to realize that at some point you may not be able to live in your own home anymore. You need to look at a senior living facility and begin that process. Do you have any wisdom for our listeners in terms of that process?
Yeah, I really think where you start is, and there are a number of tools that we can talk about so that you can kind of get at some of these things that are going to give more concrete direction to your patient advocate. But the first thing you should think about is your patient advocate, and who's that going to be? And I always say have a deep bench, because let's say you are married and it's your spouse. Well, if you're both in a car accident together and you're both unconscious, then who's going to speak for you? So have a deep bench. The other myth about patient advocate is that it has to be a blood relative, or should be. And I can tell you from years of experience in the ICU, not necessarily. It's who can do the job. Who is willing to talk to you about what's important to you to live life well? And are they willing to take on that role? It's really, in a way, it's a job. It might be a very short-term job, and it might be a long-term job. But this person might be the one that ends up choosing a facility for you to live in, because you might not be able to anymore. But if they have an idea of what type of place you want to be in, then they can advocate for you on your behalf for that type of living environment.
So that's a great point, because I think a lot of people listening to us never thought about the fact that they might not be able to choose where they live because they're incapacitated.
Right.
It could be as simple as they're no longer cognitively able to make that choice. And those are the things you want to think about. And I think another thing in terms of, as you said, great wisdom in terms of choosing a patient advocate, have a deep bench. Sometimes those who love you the most may be emotionally incapacitated to really be making a rational decision. Fair enough to say?
Absolutely. The thing that I always caution people, though, is sometimes, and it could be the adult child, it could be the older parent, one or the other assumes that the other person wouldn't want the quote-unquote burden of doing this. But burden is defined differently by everybody. I was my father's patient advocate, and he felt like he didn't want me to do any personal care for him, that would be a burden. And I kind of laughed. I said, Dad, I'm a nurse. I've seen it all. You know, that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is you're holding out on me. He wasn't telling me when his symptoms of his heart failure were getting worse, when he was getting more short of breath, because he didn't want to worry me. He thought that would be a burden. But I said, on the contrary, that was leading up to some of our crisis emergency room visits and things like that, because he wasn't being honest with me. So you've got to have somebody that's willing to really talk with you, and you've got to be willing to share.
And you've got to start it early so you don't have to end up in a situation like you did with your dad, where he's keeping that information from you. I think 9 out of 10 dads or moms will do that from their kids because they don't want their kids to worry. Mm-hmm. It's a natural, you know, it's a part of the DNA of being a parent, at least in most cases. So that's really important, and it takes out any ambiguity in terms of this is how I want to be cared for. Do you have any, real quickly, any tips for stubborn, unwilling people, parents? I'm listening, talking to them in terms of those who just don't want to talk about the future.
Sure. I just ask them, help me understand what's your biggest concern or what's your biggest fear?
When you get old.
About not talking about it. What's holding you back?
That's a tough question.
Well, you got to peel the layers of the onion. I mean, it could be that in their family dynamics, their parents didn't tell them anything and they just assumed the kids would know or whatever. I say, never assume your kids will know. Never assume your doctor knows what you want. You got to tell them. But I always start with, you know, this seems to be a hard conversation for you. Help me understand what's holding you back. So you don't ask a yes-no question. You ask a question that makes them answer you.
So I want to make sure our listeners understand this. In terms of beginning that planning for the future, the first place to start is the patient advocate. Is that what you recommend?
I think you really ought to think about it. The other thing that you could do is you could work through some questions yourself that are readily available to start to get a feel for how you want to talk with your advocate. One great website is The Conversation Project, actually started by a journalist who went through this exact thing with her mother that wasn't sure what she wanted, and she came up with a list of questions. And there are all sorts of things. I mean, you know, they're not all these dire life and death things, but it's like, you know, I always ask people, are you an indoors person or an outdoors person? Do you like the windows open? Or sunshine, or do you want it dark if you're sick?
Right.
Do you want people to come visit you, or would that just really tax you and you'd rather be left alone? You know?
Yeah. I just had a friend pass away who was, as you were talking about, an introvert versus an extrovert. And the last couple of years of his life, very few people saw him, which, of course, leaving a lot of people to mourn and say, why wouldn't you let us in? But it's also about respecting those end-of-life choices.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you about those conversations and the questions to ask, but we're going to take a real quick break here as we're talking with Dr. Carol Robinson, a nurse nationally certified in hospice and palliative care and a real incredible expert on this thing called advanced care planning. We want to remind you this podcast is happening thanks to the experts on all things aging from Holland Home, Faith Hospice, and Atria Home Care. We appreciate them bringing this conversation and all of our previous episodes to you, our listeners, today and any other time you're going to be listening. If you'd like to learn more on how Holland Home, Faith Hospice, and Atria Home Care are supporting the growing aging population here in Western Michigan and beyond, you can visit thisdayandage.org, thisdayandage.org. We continue our conversations with Dr. Carol Robinson as we talk about advanced care planning, patient advocacy, and having those conversations. Some of those, I like to call them, Carol, icebreaker questions, and I know you are a pro at this. So going back to that scenario where you're nervous about talking to mom or dad, is there, aside from saying, hey, mom and dad, can we talk about the latter years of your life when you may not be able to care for yourself? Is there an easier way to ease into that? Because even if you're 75, you don't feel...
No, you're still 29 inside.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
How do you start that way? You said kind of peeling back the onion, because there are a lot of reluctant people who just don't want to go there, Carol.
Sure. And you don't. Where you start instead is, mom or dad or whomever, what does a great day look like to you right now? What would you be doing? Who would you be hanging out with, if anybody? You know, what type of activities would you be doing? Those types of things. And you just get them to try to describe a great day to you. Because what I want to know as a palliative care nurse, when somebody is coming into our care, I want to make sure that we can get as much of that right as possible, because we're not going to have a second chance. So if this person really loves people, is really outgoing, then I want to make sure that the patient advocate and people know that this person's open to visiting, you know, wherever they are, whether it's in a hospice facility or at home or in a senior care environment. And maybe you give that job to one of the kids that isn't going to be a patient advocate. Say, you're in charge of visitors. You know, get people on the schedule. Talk about food. What kind of food do they like? All these different things are going to feed into the plan that we will provide for them at their end of life. So people get incredibly creative when they're not feeling under the pressure of they've just been diagnosed with something serious. I mean, I have people, especially the boomers, I will tell you now, that are cutting playlists, you know, and I've seen everything from hymns to AC/DC and Def Leppard. You know, it's like they're...
You mean funeral playlists?
No, for them while they're alive, but they can't hit play for themselves.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
this is the soundtrack to how I want to go out. I absolutely love that. Probably one of the most important conversations that should happen, especially if you've got aging or older parents, is being more in tune as adult children with a medical team, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I mean, that's an area where it's kind of like, okay, but the worst thing you can do is not be involved with your parents, because they may miss something. Chances are they're going to miss something. So it begins with the conversations with a healthcare team. Now, I know HIPAA rules become a thing here.
Right.
What do you recommend to our listeners in terms of having conversations about your older mom or dads or both, or uncle or grandmother, grandfather, in terms of their healthcare team?
Well, the first thing I always say, especially as you get older, my husband and I started doing it last year where we go with each other to doctor's appointments. You know, for years we didn't, but we do now, because it's important to have that second set of ears for basic stuff, but especially if you've got a chronic illness or a serious illness. So it's always good to have that second pair of ears. And if your patient advocate is a person that can tag along, that's a wonderful thing. The healthcare teams are so open to having people there now. It's just such a different environment than it was 30 years ago. So it's very conducive. It's a very empowering conversation. I tell people, take a little notebook or something so that, and if you've got questions, make sure you write them down in advance so that you can find out. You know, I love my physician colleagues. They're all so great. But they're also focused on treatment, that seems to be, that's what you want, right? I mean, if you're sick or something, you want somebody that knows what to do to fix it. But when they start throwing out a bunch of things, possibly, you know, I'd ask back, do I really need this test or procedure? What are risks and side effects? Are there simpler, safer options? What happens if I choose not to do what you're recommending?
That's a great question.
And really, now it's really important. A lot of people, they want to know, how much does it cost and will my insurance pay for it? So those are all important questions for you to be thinking about and for your advocate to be thinking about. And then how do the answers to all those questions align with what the person has told you a good life looks like?
In terms of the process of assessing the physician that may be caring for your aging parent, do you have any other recommendations? Does Dad have the best specialist here in terms of cardiologist or a pulmonologist? Maybe you're questioning whether or not they're getting the best care. Any tips regarding that?
It's a great question. I think that the really key relationship is with your primary care provider, whoever that is. A lot of times they have someone they can recommend, but sometimes people are within certain health systems or insurance structures where there's a group that they will be referred to. But you can always go on the web and look up quality ratings of your providers. And for that matter, places where you might want to consider living too. And especially if it's skilled, like if it's a skilled nursing that you need for a while, you can go to Medicare.gov and they've got a compare tool where you can really look it up and see, are these people any good? But, and the other thing is referrals, you know, of your friends, people that you respect. Gee, I need a shoulder replacement. Who'd you go to? It seemed like you did really great. You know, those types of things too never hurt.
Dr. Carol Robinson is with us on This Day and Age. She's a nationally certified expert in hospice and palliative care and advanced care planning. So in terms of these end-of-life things, advanced care planning, and a patient advocate here in Michigan, where we are recording and hosting this podcast, we have rules different than perhaps in Nevada or in California or Ohio. What are some of the necessary legal documents that a person needs in terms of a patient advocate, end-of-life decisions? What do you recommend?
Yep. So there are two types of power of attorney. There's durable power of attorney for health care, and there's durable power of attorney. I always say it's like for your stuff, your
right.
finances and all that stuff. So there are two separate documents, two separate roles. A person can be both of them, but doesn't have to be. You might think one person you know is much better at the healthcare side of things, and the other is a great detail person for your finances and everything. So you really should do both of those. In the state of Michigan, the durable power of attorney for healthcare is actually also called your patient advocate form. So that's where you're going to name your like three people. These are the people. The other thing that's unique to Michigan is the patient advocate has to agree to do it in writing. And I love that because I practiced for years in Arizona, and it wouldn't be uncommon. I'd call in the middle of the night from the ICU to somebody in Ohio, say, we got your Uncle Joe here. He's on life support. I see you're the patient advocate. And they'll say, I am. And I say, yeah, you are. Have you had any talks with Uncle Joe about what he'd want? Never.
It's not the phone call you want in the middle.
No. And then sometimes they'll even say, do I have to do this? So I love that in Michigan, we require them to say, yeah, I know I'm it. And there are places that you can get those forms. You don't have to go through a lawyer for the durable power of attorney for health care. You can go through the Five Wishes website. You can go through the Prepare for Your Care website or myhin.org. It's mihin.org for advanced care planning. They all have documents that can be specific to Michigan.
Most importantly, just begin doing your research.
Absolutely.
And trust people who are experts in this area, who happen to be the person we're speaking with on this podcast. There are good resources out there.
Totally.
In 2023. Maybe not as many 10 years ago.
No, definitely not 10 years ago.
But that's the benefit, is we've learned a lot of this. the benefit of having so many people getting older, not only in America, but across the world, is that we're learning these things. We're improving, and the process is getting better. And you said something to me earlier before we even started this conversation on this episode of This Day and Age, which was, you would be surprised by how many people are actually now having these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Being in a hospital, watching somebody hooked up to a bunch of tubes on life support, being at a funeral after funeral after funeral, watching people die suddenly, unexpectedly, it begins that process of thinking that may be uncomfortable, but it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings peace. And that's what we do in every one of these episodes of This Day and Age. We arm you with information so you don't have to have those sleepless nights that so many have with all the kinds of things we have to think about getting older. It's a lot more than, am I going to fit into my clothes? I'm going to be able to do this or that. It's a lot of things that we want to begin thinking about. Most importantly, Dr. Carol Robinson, a nurse and an extraordinary expert on this end-of-life thing and advanced care planning, and also nationally certified in hospice and palliative care. Thank you so much for your wisdom. We really appreciated talking to you.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Dr. Carol Robinson with us on this episode of This Day and Age. Now, we've armed you with a lot of information. We hope you will leave this episode with enough confidence, with enough momentum to get started on advocating for yourself, like we talked about, and your future care, and begin that process now. Make sure you are listening to our previous episodes and, more importantly, upcoming episodes of this podcast, where we will continue these conversations on preparing you for the future amidst of all of these demographic changes. Most importantly, if you are new to this podcast, subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And if you enjoyed us and listening to this episode, share it with someone you think would appreciate having this information. Remember, you can find all of the resources discussed here on our website, thisdayandage.org, as well as our future episodes and previous episodes. It's all on thisdayandage.org. And until next time, for This Day and Age, I'm your host, Phil Tower. Thank you for listening.